use this opportunity of extending the love and greetings of the saints from Fort Lauderdale. I owe this to Brother Roel. I said to him a while ago, my brother, in the presence of such bad stalwart, could a humble servant like me say a few words? And he said, go for it. And so I'm here. I couldn't help yesterday when Brother Kempton started talk about Nehemiah. I had to sort of go back into a little note that I have made, a topic I'd spoken some time ago. Because desire that is not controlled is out of control. And this is what happened to a lot of people today, because they have desires, but the desire is not controlled. Nehemiah were able to control his desire because he prayed to God to keep him. So as I said, desire is good and desire is bad. Let us talk a little about desire. I promise I won't be too long. Desire, God has desire. You know, in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, it says that God desired that all men would be saved. We know that it is his divine will. We know, his permissive will give us a choice. But desire can be good as well as it can be bad. Now, the first time I read about desire, it's taken from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. When the woman saw that the fruit was desirous, she had desire for it, and her desire was not controlled, and she took of the fruit and she ate, and the world plunged into sin because of this desire of this woman. And then verse 16, God is now telling her, and I don't know if that was really bad, but God was saying to her, you're going to bear children and your desire will be to your husband. Brethren, we need to be able to control our desire. But let me tell you, do you know it's because of your desire why you are here tonight? You see, I happened to have to come down to Jamaica in January for some cause of emergency reason. But my desire was to be here at this meeting. From the day I heard that it's going to be hosted Ocean View, I want to visit a place I am well acquainted with. And I must say how wonderful this chapel look, and say thanks to the brethren who had carried on the work. You know, we did a lot of work in the time of Bill Pulaski, Grant Stile, and all these guys. That was a time when I was very active in this. And so they really did marvelous work here. I'm quite certain they had very good desire. As I said, desire can be good as well as it can be bad. Let us think of David, for instance, as we're trying to just think of some desire. When David should be fighting with the children of Israel in the war, he was on his balcony and he saw a woman and he had a desire. And we know what happened. Even in his very house, his own son had a desire for his sister. And we know what took place. Desire can be very bad, but it can be very good. Our Lord Jesus had desires. He said to his disciple just before he was crucified, I have a desire to eat this Passover with you. Good desire. He also said in the gospel, I desire the Father, I desire the those that you give me, be with me, so I can share my glory with them. So desire is good, but it's when it's in control. But as I said, it's because of the desire that we have why we are here. But you know, you could have the desire to be here, but if you are not determined, that is my second D. Determination. The first one is desire, and the next one is determination. Now, determination makes me make the right choice. And if we look in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 and 16, we have a man, Joshua, he's saying to the people, here you are. And if you think that serving God is not right, if you think you want to live like how your father lived and are all dead, or you want to serve the God in whose land you dwell, or, but as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And this is determination that making the right choice. I had to laugh when Brother Baptist was talking to the young people. Just last night I was talking to some not so young people, but I was talking to them and telling them, I said the 16th of October will be 40 years since I'm married. And I'm not ashamed if my wife was to get the notion to leave me, go on my knees and cry over a river. Why? Because I love her. But let me tell you something, had it not been for my wife, I am certain I wouldn't be standing up here, and the grace of God. That's what keep me. And I was surprised one time, I love to pray for family. Everybody know Brother Jasper, pray for family, because I know the struggle that family is going through. Marriage is going on the rocks. I was reading an article, sometime they had a statistics in America that 52% of first time marriages end up in divorce. Forget about the second and the third time. And it's happening among us, and we have brethren who in their homes, their marriages are a sham. No happiness whatsoever. And then they leave home with animosity in their heart, as it were. You know, no love, no feelings, and you come in the house of the Lord and you expect all of a sudden miracle going to happen, so I'm going to enjoy it. No, you're going to have to start enjoying it at home. You enjoy the Lord at home. I heard Brother Baptist said sometime at Fort Lauderdale, and I just love it. He said, we don't go to meeting. We go to meet Him. That's what we go here. When we come to service, we don't go to meet Him. We go to meet Him. And this is the attitude we can go. And just as I'm talking about determination, you have some people who say, you know, I go to the church and I didn't get anything. I can tell you why you didn't get anything. You didn't bring anything. If you don't bring, you don't get. You see, the Lord told even the children of Israel, He said, don't come in the presence empty. We must come bringing praise, worship, and adoration to our Lord Jesus. Then we will get all of the blessings that we're talking about and what we're looking for. I said, when David said, my cup is full and running over, we are saying my cup was full but is running out. We need to get those cups full. But we don't only get them full in the meeting. We should bring them full to the meeting. We get it at home. We need some quality time with our Lord. So you could have the desire to be here, and you might even have the determination, but you still don't end up. You know how much time I have the desire to visit a sick, or to go visit someone who I know who needs some encouragement. I have the desire, but I don't have the determination, and then therefore I don't go, I don't make the right choice. So we need determination. And you hear some people say, I'm determined to get this done. You see, determination will give you a force to force you to do the things you should do, no matter how long it takes. You want to do it because you have that determination to do it. So you could have the desire, but you are not here. You could have the determination, you're still not here. And this third D I want to talk about is discipline. Discipline. Which is obedience. Discipline is means I have to give up friends, association, maybe even job, to be obedient to God and His word. Obedience, the psalmist says, is as it were to give up your will, because your will, the will of man, is contrary to God. So, to be obedient to His word, I have to give up my will. When I hear my Lord Jesus is praying and He's saying, Father, is not my will. Think of the Lord Jesus, holy man. But He's still saying, Lord, my will is committed to You. I have the desire, I'm gonna die on the cross. I'm determined to do it. My face is set as a flint to Jerusalem. Nothing going to turn me back. I have that determination. But Lord, I need the discipline. So it's not my will, but it's Yours. So we need to discipline ourselves. You know, when I was back in New York, I used to run every morning, no matter snow, rain, sunshine, 12 miles every day. And when I was about to come to Florida, those guys said to me, man, you know, one of these days they're going to say, you disappear. And I said, why? They said, you're going to just run and you just fall out of your clothes because you're going to run yourself to death. Now I leave New York, I have the discipline, man, and I come down here. And I have a desire, I've determined many times to do it, but I don't have the discipline anymore. And so sometimes I do it for 1 week, and then I say, I don't need it, I'm too old, I don't need this. But I need it. But I don't have the discipline. And so we need a desire. Nehemiah had a desire. He had a determination. If we read really about Nehemiah, he was determined to do what God laid on his heart. And if we're going to build, we have to have that determination. It's hard, it's difficult, it's testing, it's trying at times, but we are going to be determined to do it, and I'm going to have the discipline to see that it's being done. Discipline. And then you could have the desire, you could have the determination, you could even be disciplined. But you need a direction. That is my 4D. Direction. You see, if I leave here and go to Southfield and decide I want to go to Black River, but I make a right turn and I start go up a place you call Top Hill, and then I start going down Ballas Valley Hill, and I end up in Lane, and I start going up Spur Tree Hill, and I find myself in Mandeville. Believe me, I'm on the wrong way. You don't think so? My direction is wrong, because I should have gone left. Now, direction, you cannot find that anywhere in the world. Hollywood cannot give you. And I love books. Books are good. But there's no book like this one. This one gives you direction. It gives you everything. It's a compass. It's navigate you through the difficulties of time. It can take you through. So you have to have a direction. You know, I hear them in the States talk a lot about when you're getting old, you need a plan. Well, this is the plan that God has for us. It's a blueprint. And as we talk about building, I thought of when the first time I went to school, where they were teaching us about to inspect building, and the inspector said, the first thing he said to us, he said, inspector don't build house. Right? Inspector don't build house. They inspect for the things that should be in the house that are not in the house. And the things that are in the house that should not be in the house. Now, if we are building for the Lord, God is the architect. He's the one who draws the plan. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we sing many times, bring it down to man. And He laid the foundation. So we are not the builder. We are the worker. But we have one who inspects the work that I do. And one day we'll have to stand before Him for the deeds, whether they are good or bad, before Him, which is called the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to try for the deeds, the things that we do, the material that we are putting in the building that should not be there, and the one that should be there that are not. So we need direction. I mean, we need desire. We need determination. We need the discipline to carry it out. And we need the direction. And the direction is the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. You see, God provided the path how we wherein we should walk. But how I walk in it determine and me. How I walk. And we talked yesterday about witnessing. And believe me, if my life is not right in my neighborhood, I cannot witness to them. If not, I'm condemning myself. And even if I go into another place where they don't know me, I'm still condemning myself. But you see, God is good. And so even what I say, even if it's carnal, but it's God's word, it will still reach the heart of men. What a good God we serve. So we need the determination in our Christian life. We need desire to do the things of God. We need determination to see that it's being done. We need the discipline. Be subjected to the Holy Spirit. Bible says we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed. I say several times, we need to be conformed, first of all, to the Lord Jesus and His leading, that I'll be transformed in my mind. And then we need a direction. And God has given us the direction in His Word, how we ought to live. And the fifth D is dynamics, energy. Now let me tell you something. I live in the States, and every day you listen to TV or radio, they're bringing up some new formula to give you energy. 5 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours. You take it, you'll never be sick. You take it, all the sickness, the all is gone. These are the things. You go to the gym, and you see young people, old people, everybody in there, working a bicycle, lifting weight, the what? We are so health conscious now. We want to eat right. Understand? We want to do the right things. So we want to take things that is energetic. Now, if you want to be an energetic Christian, you can't eat like how the prodigal son ate. Can't find it out here as husk. You're going to find. But you have to find it in the Word of God. And you want to take it new every day. Like what the manna, you know, he said, you must get it fresh every morning. We need a fresh portion from God each day. And if we would put number one before us, our lives would be beautiful. But what we intend to do is to put number two first and say, Lord, follow me. Last night I said to the guys them, for about 45 years now since I know the Lord as my Savior, 25 years I followed the Lord, and for the next 20 years I'm now walking with Him. And I don't know if you see the difference, but you see, you can follow somebody and follow them afar off. They mentioned that Peter followed the Lord, but he followed Him afar off. I was like that. I followed Him, but I was behind. Many times I don't hear what He says. I have to say, what do you say, Lord? And, you know, because I'm at a distance. But now, through His grace and His mercy, I walk with Him. And when I walk with Him, then we can commune. We can talk. He can tell me of my problem. He don't say that they will go away, that they won't come. But He said, I'll help you. I will be with you in the fire, He said to Israel. Children of Israel. When you go to the fire, go with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through, and he was right there. The fourth one was like the Son of God. I'll go with you through the water. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, man, when you read about fear of John in the army, not just because the Red Sea is a shallow little sea. I said, what a God I serve that he drowned the whole fear of army in a shallow sea. And so this is the God we serve. Miraculous things. You see, every day I pray to God, and I'm going to say something again, and I hope I'm not, you know, letting all puss out of the bag. I heard our brother talk about that they pray all night. And I can remember on two occasions, I said to the brethren at Fort Lauderdale, we need a vigil, pray all night. Because when I see the Lord Jesus, before he chose his disciple, he prayed, the Bible said, all night. And if I'm going to take a lesson from him, then I need to be praying. And I said, and if we don't have anything to pray for, then we have all night to give him thanks, because he has been answering a lot of prayers. So you see, we are indebted to the cross and to our Lord Jesus. But we need a desire. We have to have that desire like Nehemiah. We have to have the determination through his energy. You know, as I talk about energy, let me read a verse and then I close. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40. I have a new Bible. God has stolen the one I have. Broke my car, took all my Bibles. My two Bibles, between the both of them, I had it like about 50 years. Between the both of the Bibles. With all my notes, my pads, everything. All of my jottings, all of my camp thing and all that. I made a mistake of buying a bag looking like a laptop bag and put my Bible in there, and I thought it was a computer, and then break my SUV and took out my thing with my glasses, everything that was in there gone. And I was very hurt when it went. And I think, until I read a little track saying that this man went to an option sale, and there was a Bible there, a big Bible, and everybody passed buying everything else, and this man was a businessman, and he said, let me just bid for it, and he bid 2 cents Bible. And he got it because nobody wanted it. And he went, and what he started to do is rip out the leaf and wrap his things that he sell. And when it came to a man who was reading John 3:16. And see them, how God can save, and that if you don't know him as Savior, you are condemned. And this brought the man to the Lord. So he started to send to buy it. But by the time he got there, he was already down in the Epistle of John, telling him about the love of Jesus and how he ought to love. And then when I read that track, I said, my Lord, so I am asking you to bless my Bibles where they are. Just bless them. Who steal it? Even if they're not using it, let someone use it. Because it was two Bibles. And all my tracks and, you know, notes and quiz books and everything. And when I lost it, it was like I lost my legs. For days, up to now, I was still trying to train this Bible, and I said, you need to turn, and sometimes you can't get it turned, you know, and leave them thin now and new and everything. But I'm getting there, Brother Baptist. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse, what did I say? 31. It says, but those who wait on the Lord, and I love to say, those who depend on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They will mount up with wings as eagles, strength. They will run and not be weary, energy. And they will walk and don't faint, endurance. May God help us that we endure even a tough time like these for his name's sake.
Amen. Dear brethren, again we say a pleasant good night. I trust I will not be long, but add a few words to what was being spoken by our dear brother. And I think there is something that we always have to appreciate: the diversity of the body. Some of us might not be as eloquent when we speak, but We have something that the Spirit of God gives all of us that is very unique. And I always enjoy brothers when they speak and have a little humor. It shows even the diversity in the body. The brother spoke about some very serious things, the desire to be determined, to be disciplined, to have direction, to have dynamic. And I feel today it is very much needed among us as Christians. And I thought in the word where I could add a little to what was said. Of one man we could think that had much desire in the scripture was the Apostle Paul. Yes, he loved and had a desire for the people of God. He cared for God people. He also was a man that was determined, very much determined. And when you speak of determined, you really speak of a willpower. That yes, the little thing, you know, that even in the day when Obama was elected, yes, I can. Yes, we can. It's not a new saying, it's an old saying. But also discipline. Paul was a very disciplined man. But also he was a man that had direction. A man that never lost sight of the heavenly vision. A man that saw the light and can say to the king, O King Agrippa, the light that I saw, it is brighter than the noonday sun. He never lost his direction. And oh, dear brethren, we as Christians sometimes we lose our direction along the pathway of faith. But Paul was a man that was dynamic. A man who loved to preach the gospel. A man who says that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. It is like dynamite. I tell you, we have what people need. What it is? It is the word of God. It is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. But I really want to touch on the desire in a way of the Apostle Paul caring for people. And here he writes to a young man, and I feel very much so needed to speak to us even as young people, as young men, as we have heard even in our this morning in the conference, in the discussion, the bridging the gap, teaching our young men, teaching our young ladies and equipping them where we look around and we see the brothers, those that have responsibility of really taking on the role of leading, of teaching, of nurturing, of nourishing, of building up, as the topic is, as we know, let us rise and build. But what about those that have the responsibility of carrying on? Of carrying on the work, indeed, as those, as we know, there will come that time when the Lord will take some home. And we have sometimes, even for my first time, being to Jamaica and hearing the reports, when you hear of certain islands and you hear of the decline of the meeting. I mean, I've been to Redsman in Barbados, lovely hall, big place, where, so to speak, as we say, a little gangster town, so to speak, opportunity to preach the gospel. But this is the reality today, and where we see that the decline, the declension. And here we have the Apostle Paul speaking to a young man, as well known in the scripture. He's a young man that had a desire to, and also had a determination, also was disciplined, and had also direction. And yes, I trust by the help that the Apostle Paul gave to him, he also, he may have not been an evangelist, but also he was told to do the work of the evangelist, and I'm sure he had some dynamic about him. And we want that for our young men today. to really to follow the Lord. So I read in the book of Timothy chapter 4, where we see the Apostle Paul encourage Timothy, and he tell him in verse 12. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying hands, laid up on the hands of the presbytery." He said, "Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly unto them, that the profited may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself." Sorry, "thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And I go quickly in the same Timothy chapter 6. He said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witness. I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." And lastly, in 2 Timothy and chapter 4, said in verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers after itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure all things." So endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them that also love his appearing." And I will stay here for now, dear brethren. Indeed, as I say, even from the thought of our brother, indeed of the desire of the Apostle Paul. And here we have, as we know, in the book of Timothy, it was a time where things was declining. It was a time where things was falling apart. And brethren, yes, it is a time where things is declining. We speak about small meetings. We speak about big meeting. And we even differentiate, you could be big, but it doesn't mean that where you're strong. And yes, indeed, you can be small, but it doesn't mean that you're weak. And yes, the Apostle Paul said, "Listen, when I'm weak, then is when I'm strong." And I tell you, I must say, sometimes when you have a small meeting, as I was saying to a brother, sometimes it's not about quantity, but about quality. Sometimes indeed much worry about number. Here was a young man given a charge by the Apostle Paul. And you know, it is very important, dear brethren, for even those that are older. We had in our last Bible reading in St. Kitts on Good Friday, where we spoke about the family, where we spoke about the father, those that have responsibility of leading, of being good instructors in the word. We spoke about young men, well, they are strong. And yes, we know that God has called young men because they're strong. And yes, we have young men. And sad to say, sometimes the young man, rather than using his strength for the Lord, he's sitting down. He's sitting down. You know, a lot of us sometimes we fall just like Samson. We have strength, but we don't utilize it the right way. We doesn't channel it to the right way. And Samson, we know he was brought down. But Paul, as a brother, as an apostle, as a teacher, even he called himself as a father, that was to Timothy. And here indeed he instructed Timothy, he encouraged Timothy, because he realized, yes, you know, even in other chapters of the Bible, where he could have sent Timothy, where he could have said about Timothy, a brother that cared for your state. Timothy learned from the Apostle Paul. And their brethren is like, even like Moses. Moses had indeed Joshua with him. And when the time came where Joshua was dead, that God could say to Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And now you is the man that have the responsibility of taking up the charge and carrying on and leading my people in the land of promise. And I tell you, young fellas, God is calling for all of us to take up the responsibility. You know what is very sad is when the brothers who have the responsibility, the older brothers, die. You know, when Brother Ashton was up here speaking, when he said there was a sister, after 25 years she was asking about priesthood. And I tell you, dear brethren, sometimes we have to indeed do, look around and see. Take somebody along your side. You need some young brother, some young sister. Indeed, just like Moses, as he had Joshua, when Moses was in the mountain, Joshua was there. Joshua was there. Even when Moses was coming down and he heard the noise in the children, he thought he was battle, but he was not battle. It was the people down there in sin. But he had a heart for God. It was Joshua. It was the same man that went into the land, the promised land, and Caleb. So dear brethren, here we see that the time came that Joshua, as a man, he had to stand up and carry the responsibility of leading the people in the land of the land of Canaan. But here, it was the Apostle Paul who tutored young Timothy. He write to him, and now he says, let no man despise thy youth. You know how much things you can do when you are youthful? You heard Brother Brian say he beat me off. As a, you know, he still feels that he's a 20 years old. You know, you look at him, you wonder. You know, you never tell me his age. But you know, he's full of vigor. He's full of strength. You come to Sankis, he's going there, boom, boom. He come to Nevis, he's going, boom, boom. And you wonder where he find the energy, where he find the vigor. And you wonder, sometimes I ask him, where you drink, brother? Where you take at home? But you know, it is the Lord that the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I tell you sometimes, when you're doing certain things that you love, the Lord provides the energy. That even when you get a certain age, they say age is just a number. It's just a number. He telling me now, he said, Brother Anthony, you're getting old, you know, you're getting gray, brother. You're getting gray. But it's just a number. It is really that the Lord provides the strength. And here he says to Timothy, let no man despise you. I say to the young people, let nobody despise you. Despise your youthful days. The brother could speak about his youthful days. He could speak about Watson Duncan, those that he traveled, I don't know them. Brother Innes and all those old brethren who would have tagged along, who would have gone here, there, and everywhere, who would have been instrumental in tutoring, in helping, in really preparing them. But here, it is important, as those that is admonished like Timothy, don't let no one despise your youthful days. You are young, And I tell you, when you're young, you can do so much things. I've learned when you have a young child or young people, you could flex it. You could flex them. You have a tree outside and it's young, you could bend it, you could twist it, you could bend it off and it flicks back up. But when you reach a certain age, even though we say age is a number, believe me, reality kicks in sometimes. Oh yes. If you bend over, you may not be able to get back up one time. So, there is things, not waiting till when I reach certain age to say I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to try to this. While you are young, use your strength for the Lord. Utilize yourself, make yourself useful. You know, I come from St. Kitts, and as a young lad, I say it before I got married, you know, every day we had a meeting. There was meeting on Monday. We go to the infirmary. That's where I learned to share the word. That's where I developed as a young man. There was Monday. And Tuesday there was prayer meeting. Then you had Wednesday. Wednesday was Bible study. Then Thursday was ministry meeting. Then Friday was children's meeting and young people's meeting. Then Saturday was Bible study. Then Sunday morning, it was breaking of bread. And Sunday night, gospel. And you know, before I married, we was going boom, boom. And we go around the clock. And I look back, no, I'm not a married man now. Don't go, you know, every night, you know, every day. But you realize the purpose and the usefulness of the time being spent around the people of God and being spent around the Word of God, how profitable it has been for many, not only for myself, but for other young men. Utilize yourself. Be youthful. Enjoy your youthful days. Because when the time passes for youth, believe me, you cannot do the things that you want to do. While you have your strength, do it and do it now. He says, be thou an example of the believers. You know, sometimes when you come from certain family and they say your father is a Christian and your mother is a Christian, you know, sometimes there's a great responsibility on you to look. God is looking at you. Oh, that's the Christian family. That's the, indeed the family that, you know, the brother child. Oh, this, you know, my mother was not Christian home. My father was not Christian home. Praise the Lord, he's saved now. Praise the Lord, my mother, she came to know the Lord before she passed away. But you know, I didn't have the structure where indeed you can walk a line or walk a life and where you could be an example as a young man. And I tell you, some who have fathers and mothers who are Christians, it's a blessing. You don't know how much things your life is saved from, how much you are delivered from. You know, it's like the prodigal son and his brother. The son went out, he messed up. He learned the hard way. He, as the brother says, he went down in the pig pen. He almost ate the husk of the pig. The brother that was home, he said, you know, my brother come home and you done kill the calf and make merry and you never do nothing for me and my friends. He had no appreciation for him. And I tell you, that's the great danger of those who are brought up in Christian home. No, don't know how much they are kept from, how much they are preserved from, how much they are delivered from, and don't appreciate the home. But nevertheless, we who now know the Lord as young people, whether we come from off the street, whether we come grew up in the Christian home, God, just like Timothy Paul says, be thou an example. You know, it is better when people see. It's easy to talk. And I tell you, in St. Kitts is a small place, much less in Nevis, it's 10,000 people. There's no way in Nevis we drive for 3 hours. In 5, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, we don't reach where we're going. We go down Charleston, bam, that's it. Everybody know you. And I tell you, people, it's not like Jamaica. You could go half of the island and somebody don't know you. You know, there's some people I know in Jamaica. Maybe, where I stayed, I spoke to a lady and she said, I never been away. I never come out of Jamaica. She don't know anything. But the thing is that when you're in small places, people are looking at you. It's not what you see, is what you do. And it's very important to be an example, not only to the believers, because the eyes of the world is on you. There is other young brothers, young sisters, who is coming, who is looking on, who is having their microscope on you, and is looking at the lifestyle that you are living. Be thou a good example. And I tell you, when you have fathers in Christ, like the Apostle Paul, I tell you, you must learn something. You must, something must rub off. And I tell you, when you spend time with all the brethren or all the brothers and sisters, there must be something good that will rub off of you, that you will able to walk in the path that they have walked. It's very good. But he said, be thou an example. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We can imitate even the Apostle Paul. Yes, we know we have our faults and our failures, but you know he was following Christ. And there is no failures in the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked a perfect walk. He lived a perfect life. Yes, when those that saw him, they said, what manner of man is this? Indeed, even the winds and waves obey him. When they saw him, dear brethren, there was not a life that ever was up on this earth like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what I love about him, and what God has set forth, he still and is and will always be the standard of who we should follow. And here, be thou an example in word, in conversation. As I said, I want to be short. There's a lot of things to say here, but I want to move along. But he said in conversation, he speaks of your manner of life. In charity, he speaks of your love. You know, to love your brothers and sisters. You know, there's no, why are we fighting? I mean, is this, you know, I have tell one brother one time in the meeting, you know, because sometimes brethren feel you are the enemy. And I said, brother, I am not your enemy. I love you as my brother. The enemy is the devil. Indeed, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, the serpent, the dragon. And he desired to destroy the people of God. Here he says, be example in these things, in charity, in spirit, in my character, small spirit, in faith, in purity. The life might, there's a verse that says, keep thyself pure. In the same Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man, be partakers of no other man's sin, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. And a dear brother one time, you know, gave a little expression or a little definition of pure, where he says it's personal. Indeed, he says also it should be uninterrupted. He says also to, it's a requirement to be pure and also to be exceptional. As young people, there's a necessity or need. Keep thyself pure. Keep yourself for the Lord. Serve the Lord. And he says, till I come, give attendance to reading. Study to show thyself approved. Read the word of God. The brother just speak who was up here, he says, listen, two people, somebody steal his two Bible. Steal his Bible. But you know, some of us, we have the Bible home. And believe me, you sometimes can't get it open. The dust on it is sealed up. If you open it sometime, the leaves will drop out. Because you wonder, when this has been read, brethren, here he says, give thyself till I come, give attendance to reading. It is very important to read the word of God. It helps, dear brethren. It helps you as a young man. And you just to take some time out. You know, the brother spoke about even in the discussion, that early morning. You know, I'm not an early morning person, but you make a sacrifice to rise up and to get up and to read the word of God. Like the Lord Jesus, as he arise early in the morning and went in a solitary place, and there he prayed. The best time of enjoying the Lord, it is early in the morning. If you want to know, when you get up early in the morning and you smell the fresh air, you don't smell the pollution, you know. It is fresh, it is clean, it is nice. And so it is when you can take some quiet time to read. And when you read, as the Lord will feed you, as the Lord will encourage you, as the Lord will fill you up of His knowledge, of His Word. So where if you give attendance to reading, you will be able to give exhortation. How can you exhort if you're not reading? If you're not occupying with the Word of God and also to doctrine, to teaching, to able to teach others. And this was young Timothy the Apostle Paul was speaking to. He wasn't speaking to all the brother or all the man. He was a young man. And he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And I think this is a very important part in the lives of young men. Neglecting the gift. There's a saying, the more you use the gift, the more you use your tool, is the sharper you get. How can I know I have a gift? You must make yourself useful. Put yourself in positions and places where you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Make yourself useful. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And I tell you, our young brothers, they have gift. But you know, even I've learned, even when you're older, you have fear. I'm afraid what he will say. How they will criticize me. When I come down, how could I dot the I and cross the T and make sure I say the right things? And listen, it is not about pleasing men. Because if you have a gift, your gift will make room for you. And if you trust the Lord and are dependent on the Spirit of God, and he says it is not by might, not by neither by mind, not by mind, nor by power, but by my Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit of God. But neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of hands. And it says, meditate on these things. Meditate on what things? The things that the Apostle Paul taught Timothy. Give thyself wholly to them. Make them a part of you. Make them a part of you, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. And unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Very instructive words. And here was the Apostle Paul, who had a desire for a young man that he will take up the discharge, who had a determination that he will instruct him in the right way. And as I move along quickly in the same Timothy, as I says in chapter 4, he had some admonition again to young Timothy. He says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And there's three F words here. He says, flee! If I have to be youthful in my youthful days, I have to flee certain things. I have to flee the things that will stop my progress. Indeed, here, flee these things, but I have to follow. My brother was just saying, he used to follow. While he was following afar off. But here he said, follow. What should I follow? Follow after righteousness. To live righteous. To live righteous. To live godly. To have faith. To have love. These are things that should characterize us as we live day by day. And he says, patience. And meekness, as we've heard, that Moses, God said Moses was the meekest man upon the earth. And these are the fruits also of the Spirit of God, meekness. But also to fight. This is determination. Young people, the Christian life, it is a real fight. We heard our brother said, the devil is real. It is a real battle. It is not a bed of roses. It's a real fight. But I tell you, he says, fight the good fight. It's a good fight. It's not a losing fight. The battle has been won already. The conqueror is on the throne. The champion is already there. The Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, fight the good fight. This is what Paul said to Timothy. Fight the good fight. And I said to all the young men, all of us, their brethren, to continue to fight the good fight. There is, as we often say, there is no retreat in this battle. It's forward we're going. Onwards we go on this pathway of faith. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on to be strong indeed, dear brethren, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. hold on eternal life. Realize what is eternal life. Indeed, realize what I have in Christ, that I shall never perish. Lay all in it. Enjoy it. Also, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession. Indeed, very important. We have spoke about being a witness, to have a good profession in the eyes of others, in those that we live around, our community, our friends, our working environment, to profess a good profession, not only to talk the talk, but it says to profess a good profession before many witnesses. And he gave him a charge here. He said, I charge in the sight of God. And I want to say our responsibility is not before men, it is before God. He charged him before God. And I tell you, we have to charge people. You know you're responsible before God. You know it's God that is looking at you. You know that it's God you have to give account to. Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. And he brings the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, and says before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He said, listen, the Lord Jesus was a good witness before Pontius Pilate. Indeed, the Bible said he was a lamb that was led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. Witness before Pontius Pilate. And here he admonished him and says, listen, take this charge. Fight, first flee, follow, and fight. This is the charge that Paul gave. And he says, thou, O man of God. Those, you know, I always find it very interesting, especially in the Old Testament, when things going bad in the days of the children of Israel, you always read that it says the man of God. You never call his name sometimes. You just hear the man of God. You know what that tells me? God always have a man. None of us is indispensable. God always have a man. Even when things is down to rock bottom, God always have a man. And the man of God, God always call him at the right time to use him, even to send to his people. But he says, he calls us here, thou, O man of God. All of us, we are man of God. We are ambassadors of Christ. You know what it is to be a man of God? Indeed, to be those that will be a mouthpiece of God, to speak on behalf of God. It is a great honor. It's a great privilege to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But here he says, keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is until that day will come, until the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he will show in his time who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I tell you, when you have the prospect of what is yet to come, it will keep your focus. It will keep you fighting the good fight of faith. It will help you to flee your sins and follow after righteousness. This is what will keep us focused. But here as I go lastly in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the last charge we see here by the Apostle Paul charging up this young man, have a desire for him, who was determined for him, who also was disciplined that he would see him go on, and also who wanted to give him proper direction and want him to be dynamic. And oh, this is our desire for all of us, and especially as young people. He said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Very important to preach the word. To really to proclaim the word of God. In season and out of season. There's times, you know, I want to say there's times when it is hot. There's time when it will be cold. There's time when, you know, things is low. But it doesn't mean the one thing about the word of God. It does not change. It is always good for all time. In season and out of season. And he admonished him to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And you can only do these things if you are given attendance to reading. And he says, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. And brethren, we live in these times, in these days, where there is not enduring sound teaching. There's all kind of teaching. Even when you saw in one of the reports from St. Lucia, where the ministry of the prison by the dear brother who goes there, where now we have to collaborate. And we refuse to collaborate with the Jehovah Witness. We need to collaborate with the Catholic. And I tell you, sir, it's a task today where there's not sound teaching. But he says, this is the time where we live in, and the time has come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap themselves teachers after itching ears. And I tell you, we have in St. Kitts, a lot of this have, you know, happened there, where there's a lot of itching ears. And you know, I find it very interesting that most of the preachers, them, they come from Jamaica, you know, for something, some reason or the other, when they come and they have tent. I don't know if they're very dynamic, or what, how they talk, or the language, or the accent, but they come from, most of them come from Jamaica. Most time you see, they have a tent, is a preacher from Jamaica, and he spends maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And you know, people have itching ears. This is what they want to hear. But brethren, we don't have to speak what people have want to hear. We have to speak the word as it is. Speak the word as it is. But this is the world we live in today. There will be itching ears. Some shall turn away. Turn away their ears from the truth. And this is the great danger today, where you will see people, even sometimes right in the meeting, years they're going on, and they say, I don't know where with this thing here. I'm fed up. Women can't say nothing in this place. Only men seems to have all the clout and seems to do everything. Women have no rights. Women. And you know, there is some who will turn away from the truth. But it is a little saying we always say, time will tell. You know, it's one thing that you can't fool God. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever a man sow, God is not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. And what is within will sooner or later will be manifest on the outside. And some will turn away from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Nice Nancy story in the nice year, in the dynamic preacher, the prosperous gospel. All these things. This is the world today. And I tell you, they have them in Nevis too, where there's places even like these is AC. It's comfortable seat. There's a lot of background and long chairs across and a lot of clouds. And you know, people go to certain places to make themselves comfortable. People don't want the truth. They're not about the truth. But brethren, the Lord Jesus said, the truth, well, truth shall set you free. Whom the truth Yes, thank you. But here he says, some will turn away, shall turn unto fables. And this is where we have to watch, to be on guard. Watch for our young men, watch for our young women, our daughters, our children. Watch them in all things, to be diligent, to be always on guard, to be watchful. Are we watchful, Christian? Are we looking out for the young ones? Are we looking out for the young men? Are we seeking to nurture them, to teach them, to bring them along, to see that they mature, see that they develop, see that they come of age and taking responsibility and going on with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, there are others that have that responsibility of watching. You know, you leave a child, you leave a young believer to himself. Listen, it's like a prey out there for the wolf. And some get carried away. But we have a responsibility to watch. Paul says to Timothy here, watch thou in all things, not in some things. Watch everything. Keep your eyes open. Be diligent. Watch. He says, while you're watching, endure affliction. Afflictions will come. It is the time of sufferings also too. But he says, do the work. While we are being afflicted, to do the work. Do the work of an evangelist. And here, it's almost indicating that Timothy, he might not have the gift of being an evangelist, but he was admonished to do the work of an evangelist. Very important. You know what I find about evangelical work? It's like going and catching fish. As the Lord Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, most people don't like to clean fish. Doing the dirty work. To do the work of evangelists. Some might like to catch, some want to eat the fish. But believe me, to clean a fish, ain't everybody want to clean the fish? Ain't everybody want to take out the guts? Ain't everybody want to get rid of the scales? And get rid of this and get rid of that? No, that's not my job. But here Timothy was admonished, do the work of evangelists. You don't have to be evangelist to do the work. All of us can do the work. The work is for everyone. The work is great. Put your hands to the plow and no turning back. Do the work. Do the work of evangelists. Make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof. He says here, or fulfill thy ministry. Make no sense that you say you have a ministry and you're doing nothing. Make full proof of thy ministry. Why he admonished Timothy this way? Because he said, Timothy, I am leaving. I am going. Because he says, for I am now ready to be offered. I'm ready to leave this place. The time of my departure is at hand. I want to let you know. I'm leaving. But it doesn't mean because I'm leaving, things should not continue. Things must continue. And do the work. I'm leaving, but continue. He said, I want to let you know I've fought a good fight. Look at me. Paul said, I fought with lions. Fought. He said, I fought a good fight. It was a good fight. It was not a fight. He said, boy, I ain't want to be in this race. I want to fight this fight. Ain't like when you know, even in the days of Muhammad Ali, some people was afraid to go in the ring. Because they don't know when to go in the ring. The fight done. He will give the talk. But listen, we are not to be afraid. The Bible says, the righteous is as bold as a lion. Brethren, it is a good fight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he says, I've finished my course. You know, even in the Christian circle, you hear sometimes preachers retire. They retire. There's no retirement, you know. The only place you retire is when you're dead. Or if you get old and you slow down. But you see those old folks, we had a brother from Sadler's. He was, I think, 98 or 90, 97. 97. Old brother named Brother Richardson. He used to be the first at the meeting sometimes. Sunday school, he still was there. 98 sitting down. And there's brothers who, young brothers, you don't see them. Sometimes they live so close. He was always there. And sometimes he still will rise up and give a word of exhortation and a word of admonition. And here, he fought a good fight. And you know, at one stage, his foot wasn't too good. The brother put on joggers. That wasn't stopping him. He realized even though he reached a certain age, his course was not finished. Brethren, is until the Lord called you home. Or until, you know, you reach a stage physically that you cannot function. Here was the Apostle Paul. It's not about retirement and sitting down and waiting for the perks and for this and for that. You know, here he says, I've finished my course because he was on his way out. The Lord has called him now. And he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. But he said, I've kept the faith. And you know, we have that verse, in the book of Revelation where the church of Philadelphia, where the Lord said to them, thou art O little of strength, but you have kept my word. Brethren, we might have a little strength, but continue to keep the faith. Keep the word of God. Continue to hold on to it. He said, I've kept the faith. And he tells us about his reward. Only the Lord can and will reward you. Don't look for your reward here. Don't look to be tapped on the back for what you do. We often say it's only what's done for Christ with last. And it's only when we get at the judgment seat of Christ. And I always admire the Apostle Paul when he says in the book of Acts, he said, what meaneth me? When they tell him there were some people outside, there were some men outside who have shaved their head and ready to kill you and to get rid of you. He said, what meaneth me? To break my heart. He said, I'm ready to go down to Jerusalem and to die for Christ. He said, nothing gonna stop me. I'm gonna continue to fight the good fight. He said, why? I'm going to finish my course. And I'm going to continue to keep the faith. Because henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He was looking at the prospect in the future, at the day when the Lord will give him that which is his for what he have done for Christ. And he says, listen, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous, what? The righteous judge. Isn't that the words of Abraham? The judge of the earth will do right. And brethren, even among the people of God, the Lord will do what is right. Judgment begins at the house of God. And the Bible says, listen, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and a godly appear? If God don't take care of us, who sometimes we walk crooked and we don't be straight. Here Paul said, listen, the Lord is the righteous judge. He will judge the secrets of the heart. Everything will be brought before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And every one of us will receive what we have done, whether as the body we have heard it from the world, whether it's God or whether it's bad. And here the Apostle Paul says, the righteous judge. And we have heard it even in our discussion, judge nothing before his time. He will receive his crown from the righteous judge. And he said, he shall give me in that day, not only to me, and he not only was speaking of himself, but he said, but unto all them that also love his appearing. And brethren, this is what we are waiting for. This is what we are looking for. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I encourage us, all of us, as he encouraged, the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy, flee, follow, and fight. Brethren, he said it to him in the last chapter there that I just read. Preach the word in season and out of season. And then he tell him, listen, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And sometimes we have to face reality. When we look around, there's a lot of age group of brothers. Sometimes I say, boy, how long they're going to be around? We don't know. But it's to equip our young men. Like the Apostle Paul, he equipped Timothy. He could have left Timothy on his own. And where he reached the stage of maturity and responsibility, and where he could have taken charge as a young man. And I tell you, it's a very positive sign and encouragement when you see young men. Because where you come from today, and maybe even in Jamaica, and you wonder, where is the young men? They're on the streets. They're smoking marijuana. They're running women. And you know much more? They're killing one another. Left, right, and center. It's the work of the devil to destroy the lives of young men. Knowing that God has purposes for them. And all young men, we have to preserve them. We have to teach them. We have to chew to them. We have to take responsibility to be like Moses. To be like the Apostle Paul. He had Silas with him. He had also, we know, John Mark, who was a young man. Who even we know there was the contention between him and where he didn't carry him. But Barnabas, who was a man of consolation, but took John Mark. And then Paul can say, listen, bring John Mark, because he is profitable. You know, sometimes some brothers may say, I ain't got the time for that person, you know. But you know, some will have that consolation, that encouragement, that they will take up the interest to see young men develop and go on. May God help us, as all of us, to continue to fight the good fight of faith. For his name's sake.